Thank you. It's always encouraging, isn't it? But it is for me anyway. You get up here and actually you realise that you're talking into a flow that's already happening. That God's already kind of doing something, and there's a flow that hopefully you'll see we kind of come into with what I've got. So that makes me feel a whole lot better. Right, the verse we're really focusing in on is very short, so you don't need to look it up. It's James 1:22, and it says this. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." Now, I'm sure you kind of recognise the real simplicity of that. There's, you know, this whole thing of there's no point in kind of having some deep, clever theology if it doesn't make a difference, if you don't change by it, if nothing happens as a result of it, then it's all pretty meaningless and a bit like kind of hot air, really, isn't it? It was interesting last week, actually, Scott, I was praying with Scott at the beginning. We were together, and embarrassed you now, mate. And we were just praying about the service, and I was kind of rattling on about kind of God opening people up and changing things. And then Scott's turn, and of course he nails it in a sentence. And what he said was, "God, change our minds if you need to." And I thought, oh, that's what I should have said, but I didn't, because I'm not as wise as him. But that's what it's really about, isn't it? And that's what a lot of our life and our kind of walk is about, is God, change our minds if you need to. But more than that, we need the conviction to act on that and move on it and be changed because of it and do something about it. So that's what I want to talk briefly about tonight. We're going to look at, I want to look at it in two kind of ways, really. I want to look at it in a bigger picture, a kind of my whole life, my ministry, my kind of that big picture of what we do. But then bring it down to a very personal level of what I do and how I live my life. So bear with me and we will work our way through these two sort of ways of looking at it. So I'm going to just go now to a slightly longer verse, actually, in Acts 8:4, which is the story of Philip in Samaria, which I'm sure you all know this story. And it says this: "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip," sorry, this is, if you don't know, this is kind of after, this is in Acts as the disciples go out after Jesus was crucified, rose and ascended. So that's the kind of context. And they were being persecuted, and so they were spreading out and spreading the word. So Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And there was also great joy in that city. And then I'm going to skip a few verses to, then it says, "And now an angel of the Lord came and said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down between from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now just stop in there for a minute. I don't know about you, but if there was a huge revival firing out of Midsummer Norton, like everything was on fire, the world had kind of was being turned upside down, and somehow you felt God say to you, "Actually, I want you to go and go off." Have you got the map up there? Can you stick it up? I don't know if it's on, John. I just looked up on Google to see what this, what it meant by going to this road between Jerusalem and Gaza for Philip. Because, do you see how far it is? This isn't just nip down to, you know, around the corner. This is like 100 miles, and then he's got to wander across along the road. I tell you, I would, you know, would you do that? I'd allegorize. You'd think, well, this is not real. Surely the Lord wouldn't want that. This is a picture. This is a picture. Well, obviously, it's a desert road, so he wants me to go and speak to desert people, but where I am, you know what I mean? You would twist it. You'd twist it. But he didn't. He did what he was told. That's great. And anyway, it went on. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of Candake, is it? Which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked him. And then the story goes on, as you know, that Philip went on to expound the gospel to this guy. And this guy was saved and was baptized miraculously. Great things happening. But I think for me, the big picture of this, of course, is that the Ethiopian eunuch was obviously, as you know, as it said, he was a high official in the kind of government of Ethiopia, or as it was apparently called Abyssinia at the time. And of course, Abyssinia became, or Ethiopia became, I understand, the first Christian nation. And it is attributed back to this event. So God moved him from an amazing work in a city to transforming a nation. But it only worked because Philip had the courage, the faith, and he listened. And he did what God said to him. You know, changing a nation. Amazing. And I think Philip, in showing this kind of story, showing that Philip was somebody who was in tune with God and listened to God and could hear what God was saying, it made me reflect on us as a church a bit. And I was thinking that we're I think, quite good at listening to God as a church. I really do. And I was reflecting back on some notes we had, I think I was sent or I'd made, of a pop a couple of powerhouse of prayer a few months ago, when we made lists of people were just trying to kind of express what they felt God was saying to them. And they were brilliant, and they were really appropriate things in that moment. They were just right on the money, you know. And actually, I was thinking when Matt was praying this evening, there was just some stuff, that picture, it was like just in the moment. And we're really, really good at doing that and appropriate for the situation. But, and I'm certainly not devaluing this in any way, but I think all of the things that we tend to hear in pop, and when all that list I went through, were brilliant encouragements of God saying, yeah, you know, I just want to be engaged with you. I want to do this with you and that with you. And that is phenomenal. And we are so privileged that that is happening. But I think that God wants to say more than that to us. And I think he wants to say more than that to us individually as well. But the dependency is always going to be of how open we are prepared to be to accept that thing that cuts across what we're expecting him to be wanting us to do. Like Philip, you know, he must have been torn to have been in that situation of an out revival going on to actually accept the fact that God was saying something that perhaps didn't agree with his plans at all. I remember when I first got to know Matt, actually, and we were had a few meets in a pub, and God was saying some stuff about Matt perhaps being called to ministry with us. And the thing that struck me again and again, and I'm sorry, I've never mentioned this to you before, mate, was he kept saying about holding this loosely and holding ministry things loosely. Don't grab them so tight that God can't prise it out of your hand. Just carry it loosely. And I think that struck me was exactly what Philip did. Well, didn't he? He was holding it loosely, and God was able to move him and change him and change that whole situation. Listening and acting. I mean, Paul and Margaret, and this is what I was thinking, you know, when you guys were sharing, that this is the same thing, you know, isn't it? It's that thing that the obvious would be just to stick around here because you're having a great time. But actually, listening and acting was the thing you do. And God's doing stuff through that. It's his plan, but it's so difficult not prejudging the outcome that we think we've got it the answer. There's this thing I'm into, which I've bored people with endlessly, about confirmation bias. And this is a habit, a thing in our heads that we tend to only accept things that fit our worldview, things that we don't agree with or we don't really like. We don't even hear them often. It's a kind of psychological thing, I think, and it's really difficult to fight that. But that's what God demands of us sometimes, to step out in faith. Even if, like with Philip, stepping out in faith could be a complete disaster, because the fear for me would be, and is, you step out in faith and that all goes horribly wrong. If you step, you know, if God calls you to do something, then where's my faith going to go? Am I going to kind of lose it? Am I going to look stupid and lose what I've got because perhaps God didn't deliver on something? Do you know, you start to feel really vulnerable about that. And that's really difficult. But somehow we can't allow ourselves to be defined by kind of the who we are, that kind of thing that we're doing. God's got more than that. And somehow we have to allow God to kind of prize that from us, to take us to the next place that he wants us to be, and the next place he wants to be doing. It strikes me that often the thing that the call of God is not so much to do something, but is to actually step away from something, to allow him space to speak in, to do something different. And I think being a doer that we looked at in that verse can sometimes be a stopping doing something as much as it is to be doing something else. That God just wants control, his purposes. It's a tendency, I think, that we all have of wanting kind of Jesus to somehow get alongside our plans, you know, rather than be subservient to his vision, his mission, and doing that, not expecting him to bless what our great ideas are. And I don't know, that's, I think, sometimes the struggle for all of us. It is certainly for me. But in those big pictures, it's important, isn't it, that we're trying to be open and have this kind of loose grip of what God is saying, that if he wants us to change, and perhaps he's saying that somebody here, that you've got to just put something down. It's time to put it down. Perhaps that's what he's saying to you tonight. But as much as hearing God in, you know, I think lots of us, we kind of struggle with this thing of, am I really hearing God in these big things, or I'm not? And it can be difficult. And sometimes you hear people, they talk a lot about God being very silent in their life. But what, on the kind of simpler, more personal side of looking at this verse, of hearing the word and doing it, struck me as actually, certainly in my life, God is very verbal, very clear and very loud in my life, and I think he is with all of us. Not necessarily in the kind of ministry areas, but I think in those small things of our life, the kind of the holiness issues, the things of our behaviour, what we do, how we think. I don't know about you, but I find God does speak to me in those things quite a lot. And he has quite a lot to say about it. And this thing is, I think if we are able to start to engage with God in those things, then perhaps the bigger things will become clearer and easier to hear him, because we'll know his voice that much better. So it says in Luke, whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. Whoever's dishonest with little is dishonest with much. So as much as God sometimes can feel silent when it comes to this personal holiness thing, I think God has an awful lot to say to us. Which in itself, when I was writing this, I was thinking, that's quite an amazing statement, that God's got quite a lot to say to us. And if you think, the God of the universe, who created heaven and the earth, you know, in amongst how many billion people there are on this planet, he's actually saying, "Where are you? I want a word with you." It's quite humbling, isn't it? It's quite humbling that the God of the universe wants to, you know, with all his righteousness, his holiness, that kind of amazing thing that we can't even begin to get our head around of who he is. He actually wants a word with me about, you know, the fact you're bad-mouthing somebody, or your kind of thoughts are a bit dodgy, there's a bit of anger burning in you that isn't what he wants to see. That's not his way. Or being a bit judgmental, perhaps. Because he's interested, you know, in the detail. In the detail, talking to us. But what of course, the thing is how do we hear God? And that's where it's kind of difficult. And this is the bit which we don't talk about very much, I kind of realised when I was trying to pull this together. Because, of course, God speaks to us so much through our conscience, doesn't he? Because I think we don't often hear people talking about our conscience. I had a look up about it, and there are some of the great kind of scholars have talked about it. Calvin spoke about a divine sense that God puts into every one of us. And I think that our conscience can become our best friend and our way of hearing God in the day-to-day. Because the conscience is not something that demands of us, is it? It warns us. It says, look, you're going a bit wrong. It's the still small voice that God's saying, this isn't quite right. It's not quite as it should be, is it? It's like takes away your peace in that situation. And I think that's, you know, when God is just saying this isn't as it should be. And now I know that sometimes, you know, you can blunt your own conscience, and people do. And I think people can have an oversensitive conscience if they've had their life being told that they are worthless or something like that. But I think as we get in and develop a strong relationship and a balanced relationship with God, then our conscience, I think, can be relied on. And we can always test those things that we hear, because he will never contradict his word anyway, will he? So you always know that it's going to be kind of close. But it just, I was thinking more and more, I need to be taking notice of my conscience, of what it is saying. Even if, you know, I'm deceiving myself and saying, you know, well, I know that God wants them to make me happy, and this is going to make me happy, so I'm going to do it. I think your conscience can break through these things and actually give you that warning and say, hang on, are you sure? Are you sure this is right? Because as soon as your peace has gone from those decisions, I think that's when you know that God is saying something. When you feel, yes, a kind of an uneasiness about it, then God, I think, is saying something. And this is not a guilt trip. It's about getting closer to him. But it's allowing him to flag up and listen to him when he flags up the fact he's not happy about something. Even if, you know, we're very good at deceiving ourselves, but I think we all know when it's him speaking. And I think if we get better and better at doing this, or start to listen more and more and discern it, we'll recognize his voice in it and see that we need to follow that and lead, kind of listen to that and be changed by it. Because I think, certainly with me, it happens a lot more than I would kind of like to admit. Now, what I was thinking, just, we've got a few minutes as we move through this evening, so that this isn't just theoretical. I thought we could just for a moment just be silent, each of us, and just seek God in what we're about at the moment. Because I think that God, if we seek him through your conscience, will be saying to you, actually, there is this thing. There is the way that you are behaving on the internet, where you're clicking. I'm not happy about it. And I think he'll be telling you that. I think he'll be telling you your kind of mindset, your anger is wrong. You can't fly at people. Just back off. Allow me to deal with those situations. Your resentment, that burning resentment of you have over somebody. Hang on, give it back to me. Stop it. So just for a moment, let's just be silent and let's just go into God's presence and allow him just to talk to us, so that we can just hold on for it for a little while for this evening. Okay, so I'm sure that as you seeking God in this, he is speaking something. There's something there that he is just wanting to just bring to your attention, warn you about. But as we were saying, knowing that is one thing, hearing it is one thing, but we only step closer to Jesus, we only step closer to God by acting on that. It's only if we decide to make a step with that and to do something with it and to make a change. And I don't think it's too complicated what we have to do that, to find peace in that situation. It is simply saying, sorry to God, I've got this wrong, you are right, and I am wrong. I repent that, and I will endeavour to walk with you in that. That's all he wants. That's all he's looking for, to do something about it, to move towards him in that. And he will honour us in that. I know he does, because he's done it with me so many times. Because once we can start doing this, if we can start to get into a mindset of following that conscience and responding to God, then surely we'll start to be defined by holiness, because that's what God is calling us towards. And once we start to be defined by holiness, when we are present, we bring light into a situation, not darkness. We'll be positive and uplifting to anybody around us, because that is who's defining us. It is the King who defines us, not ourselves, not our opinions, not our deception of who we think we should be. But he is beginning to define us, because we're listening to him as he pours that through us. And that's pretty amazing if that is what our God is doing through us, one of 7 billion or whatever we might be. But it's only going to happen through a decision. It's not going to magically just absorb ourselves into it. Every day we need to make that decision to say, I hear you and I know I'm wrong, and I'm going to try and do better. And that's what he wants. It's not difficult. Just a step towards holiness. And we said, you know, whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much. And that's what he wants to do. Little steps. Little steps every day. Just getting that little bit closer. And he's going to do some amazing stuff with us. And yeah, we'll have peace in everything, I think, because we'll be in his presence so much more closely that we will know his heart and we'll be moving in it in that way. Let's close. Let's pray. It's a good time to close. Jesus, I just pray that you would resensitize our consciences tonight, that you would strip away any falsehoods that we have in our conscience and clear that way that you are heard, that your voice is so clear in us through that. And through the things that we've highlighted in our own minds this evening, that as you've spoken, we now acknowledge your voice in that. And we say, yeah, you're right and we're wrong. We acknowledge it. Jesus, we know that we are behaving in ways that don't honour you, and we know that we've got to change. Lord, we need your power and strength to get through these things. We can't do a lot of this on our own because we're pretty rubbish at that, but we just pray that you would empower us as we resolve to become doers. Lord, we just want to follow your direction, that we will be a light in the world, in your name. Amen. Thank you.